BS with Bob Schmidt here on today's Talk 1490. It is 8:11. We have a temperature of 63 degrees. A beautiful sunny day. Look for a high of 80 later on this afternoon. Right now, I've got Glenn and Laura on the phone, and hopefully this works out. I'm trying to three-way us. Are you both there? Laura, are you there? No.
Maybe it's because I hit the wrong button. Glenn, are you there? Glenn?
Yes.
Laura?
Hey, how are you, Bob?
I am doing well. We're taking. You know, it's pretty fitting that I'm talking to you guys right now because we're taking a leap in that we're talking about life leapers. And here we go. Let's talk.
All right.
I'm gonna have to turn this one down, that one up. So, the radical sabbatical, taking chances, and tell me about your guys. Tell me about yourselves first.
Sure. Well, the premise of the book was, I'm getting an echo in my
That's because I got both of you guys on different lines, so it's going to happen. Sorry.
Okay, that's fine. I'll talk. Right. Basically, we were at the point where, I was personally at the point where I was an overworked CPA back in 2006. The book is about taking this huge life leap into the jungles of Costa Rica, because if I continued the way I was going, and I would have ended up online with nothing but, you know, house slippers and a sippy cup of chocolate milk, basically. I was really close to going crazy.
You would have been like a radio guy then.
Maybe.
Well, I don't know. Is your life like Groundhog Day? Because that's kind of how it was for us. It was repeat, 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 and nothing was changing. And we're like, what are we going to do? We got to get out of this. There's more to life than that.
Don't you think a lot of people go through life with that same thing, with that whole repeat, 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 repeat?
Absolutely.
I think they totally do. But, you know, for some, I think if you're enough off balance, you know, I think the universe is all about balance. And the magic thing about it is, if you're far enough off balance, all you need is a little nudge and you'll just go flying into something crazy. So we went to Costa Rica. A lot of people talk about, you know, go on vacation and talk about, well, I could just live here. I want to retire here. And I think we just gave ourselves that nudge, and all of a sudden there we were.
Laura, was it hard to take that nudge, or was it hard to, you know, give each other that nudge in order to go to Costa Rica to do something, you know, a little bit off kilter, something that you wouldn't have done before?
Yes, because Laura is Miss Logical and Glenn is Mr. Creative. So having those conversations took more than just us having a conversation over a glass of wine. I mean, we literally at one point we started writing to one another, because that was the only way that we could get our thoughts on paper and have a conversation where we weren't sitting there somewhat arguing about it. Like, well, what about this and what about that? So we use this technique called 10-10, and we would pick a question that was obviously related to taking this radical sabbatical, and we would write on it for 10 minutes, just all of our feelings and thoughts, and we'd get it on paper. And then we would read what each other wrote, really taking it in, not interrupting one another, and then we'd be like, okay, well, let's talk about this in a more rational manner. So it took a lot of those to get us to be on the same page, which was really critical, because when you're going into such a huge change, and you don't have to go to the jungle, but whatever change it is, maybe, you know, your spouse wants to quit their job or retire or move to a new place across the country, you need to be on the same page, because you don't want the, you know, pointing the fingers and you made me do this, and then all those arguments that follow.
You know, you mentioned the 10-10, Glenn. I'm going to ask you this. So if you get, you know, if you get a bunch of monkeys in a room and you're all typing stuff, eventually they're going to come up with a work of art. Was that kind of how it was with you guys, putting your all your thoughts to paper and then passing them back and forth?
It kind of ended up where, in hindsight, frankly, I had a bit of an agenda. So I was pushing things in a certain direction. I was, for whatever reason, unbeknownst to me still, when I go to Costa Rica, despite the fact that, you know, tarantulas were literally falling out of the sky at times, bats in the house, no water, venomous snakes on the doormat, this crazy, crazy time. Whenever I go to that country, as soon as the plane hits the ground, that's a nice term, hits the ground. It doesn't usually hit the ground. But,
why don't
you
say landed? Well, let's say landed.
Yeah, as soon as it lands. I feel like, you know, roots just growing out of my feet. And so I just really wanted to go there, and thankfully Laura was great enough to, you know, eventually migrate to my line of thinking with this great tool.
So what do you think of that, Laura? Was it hard to migrate to Glenn's, even though it was supposed to be free thinking? He had that agenda going.
Yeah, you know, it It was hard, and at the same time, I am so happy that we did it. Because what was really getting in the way of me, and so many people experience this, is that logic, that focus on limitations versus possibilities. So I was looking at it like, oh my God, well, you know, what are we gonna do with our stuff, and what about our cats? Because we brought our cats with us, and what about money, and we just can't quit our jobs, and so all of these things went through my head. But working through it, through 1010, it became clear to me, okay, these are all fears, and I'm creating worst-case scenario, and do I want to live the rest of my life regretting not having done something? So, hands down, so happy that we did it, regardless of his manipulation.
Are you guys a couple?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, no, wait. No, wait. I'm gonna turn this one down. Glenn, are you guys a couple?
Absolutely. We're a married couple.
Now, see, your answer sounded a lot better than, yeah. Laura, you have to admit, Laura, that was kind of a sad, yeah.
Yeah, I'm in this. Somebody save me.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. So that's why I figured I would ask that. So you have another book here called Fall in Love Again Every Day.
Yep, and that really is a how-to about the 10-10 technique. It's bringing people, any couple, whatever it might be coming between them, if there's like a cold period, if there's some type of hesitancy to communicate, or some awkward moments, or even if they're looking to embark on something like we did, this type of writing to one another, incredibly effective in just opening up and having an ongoing understanding day to day about what each person's thinking and creating a real connection.
Laura, is a 10-10 something that you guys came up with yourselves?
Actually, it is known just throughout the world, so no, it is not. My parents introduced it to me when I was in college, and so we were like, yeah, let's start doing this. And you know what? It's funny, because when we started doing it, we didn't have computers and things like that. So we always say a pencil saved our marriage, because we were writing everything down.
Well, I'm just picturing, like little pencil fights.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You take that. Oh, you take this.
We just took turns on being the sharper.
Your marriage.
Yeah.
So who had the sharper pencil? Who's wittier out of the two of you guys?
That's a great question.
I'm gonna not answer that question.
Oh, you choose.
Okay, I'll answer that question.
Okay.
I think that Glenn studied at Second City in Chicago.
Oh.
So I would say that he is the wittier one, because he can just, pull it all together. He can do improv, he can do script writing, and he's very, very comical. And actually, Radical Sabbatical has been described as a very Dave Barry-esque, so if you know who Dave Barry is, it's similar writing to Dave Barry, so it has that, tongue in cheek type of writing. So Glenn's the witty one.
So Glenn, you're Second City.
Yeah.
No, it's not. Yes, and
center.
Yes, and not just yeah. Yes, and.
Yes, and it was actually it was an extracurricular pursuit for me, and I had such a great time. I studied improv and script writing there.
Did you do any performing?
A little bit, yeah. I did a little bit. I wasn't on the main stage or anything, but I was, I was enrolled in the training center, and occasionally they put us on stage like at midnight, 1 o'clock, for the people who were so drunk they had nothing to do, and they'd stumble in and come look at us, come watch us.
Going to those shows is great. The funny thing about improv is that people think that you have to be funny. You don't be funny. You just kind of go with the flow, and something funny will come of it, maybe.
Absolutely, and that is something that we talk about. I talk about sometimes on these radio interviews is the fact that doing these things, taking radical sabbaticals, or even pursuing your dreams, you can consider that you can emulate improv in that in this fact that this I think as well as I do. I think you've done some improv if I remember correctly.
Yes.
But on stage, you never say no. If somebody says, "So I heard you went to the grocery store yesterday," and you say, "No, I didn't," well, that scene just died, and you might as well just switch it up and finish. And you never shoot anybody on stage because you just lost the character. So it's all about saying yes to everything so you can let the scene develop and keep things going. It's all about keeping momentum. And I think And these things, when you're pursuing your life dreams, that's what you want to do as well.
So have you been living kind of improv-ly? I know that's not a word, Laura, but I mean, have you guys been living life kind of on the whole improv theme?
Yes, definitely. We've now created a remote lifestyle for ourselves where our business commute is from the bedroom to the living room, and we have the freedom, because we don't own a place, to just kind of pick up and go somewhere. And we're already talking about, hey, where's our next radical sabbatical? We spent some time in Thailand and Japan, and we spent some time in Africa, and I don't know what's on the agenda next, but we're definitely the improv people.
Is it good not to live with that whole agenda, do you think?
I believe for us it is. And when I say that, that doesn't mean that you can't create a sense of routine and stability for yourself. You just have to find out what those stability markers are. So for me, it's, you know, taking the dog for a walk. Like, okay, that's my, you know, go get a cup of coffee, take the dog for a walk, and then let improv take over and just see how things work out, because you're living in the moment, right? We're always being in the future or in the past, but improv is in the moment. And so I think there's something really valuable about that.
You know, I love that. I love improv is in the moment, and yes, and what is it that you guys do for a living, Glenn?
By day, I'm a corporate project manager for Fortune 500 companies. I have my own business, and I'm a consultant. And then, you know, around 3 or 4 in the afternoon, we close the computer, and then we talk about, you know, how do we get to talk to people like you, and how do we increase book sales? And, you know, the book is being looked at by Hollywood producers and screenwriters right now to see if we could turn it into a movie, et cetera. So, I mean, that really is the improv part of our days, because it's just wide open. We look at each other and say, all right, what do we need to get done? What opportunities landed in your box today, et cetera. So
those are just cats? Yeah. Just cats in the family?
Cats and dog.
Cats and dog. Very good. What's the next step, Laura?
The next step is we're turning Radical Sabbatical into a movie, and we're gonna see a big billboard sign in the middle of Times Square. Radical Sabbatical.
So if you guys need like a fat balding guy in the show, you know, I'm willing to take my, you know, I'm willing to do it for, you know, just for popcorn.
I didn't understand you. I'm sorry.
Oh, I said if you guys need a fat bald guy in your show, in your movie, I'm willing to take the part. I work for popcorn and movie tickets.
Well, somebody told me that they thought that Giamatti should play me in the movie. I weigh 142 pounds, so I was thinking, well, I don't get that connection really, but well, whatever. But hey, you know, people don't need to know what I really look like.
Absolutely. So. Well, hey, best of luck to you guys. Let me put you on hold. I want to talk to you here off the air. It's